Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has time to stress about website security? With Kinsta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, running a digital agency, Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by keeping your site online secure and performing at its best. They even have a user-friendly dashboard called My Kinsta that simplifies the site management with tools for cache control, debugging, redirects, and CDN setup. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, you won't experience any downtime when switching to Kinsta. Plus, their 24/7, 365 human-only support is available in multiple languages to help with any inquiries, no matter how complex. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to Inspired by Her, the podcast that will give you the inspiration, motivation, and tips for success from some of the top executives, CEOs, and influencers from around the globe. With your host, serial entrepreneur, and named one of the most influential Filipina in the world, Kate Hancock.
Yeah, and we are live. Hi, everyone. This is Kate Hancock. And today I have amazing guests all the way from the Philippines, George and Lucy. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Good evening.
Yes. For our listeners all over the world, Lucy and George, kindly introduce yourself.
So we are YouTubers. We're vloggers. We make videos on YouTube. We love to travel, although not so much recently.
Yeah. We used to love to travel.
Yeah.
Less so now. And we've got a base here in Manila in the Philippines. And we've been here just over a year now. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, I need to know your story. What was your journey like to get where you are?
It was kind of interesting up to this point.
Yeah.
I would say we made a decision back in 2018. We got together in 2013, I think.
13?
13? As a relationship, as a couple. It's weird because we're kind of like business partners and
a couple
as well. So it's kind of everything's together. So we wanted to make little videos of our vacations for some reason, just for ourselves.
That was like 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
From this point. And we've been making videos as a hobby alongside our full-time jobs back in the UK for 3 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then we said one day, what if we can make this full-time? What if we can make this like a thing that we do as our job instead of just as a hobby? And the only way to try that out and see if it would actually kind of work and if we could do it would be to quit these jobs and just like go full speed ahead with our 6,000 subscribers at the time. So then we booked a ticket to Asia and started daily vlogging from that point. And then a few months in, things started to really pick up.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, leads us to where we are today, I guess.
Pretty much. That's where the work started, really.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So why did you pick Philippines as a home base?
It was an easy decision, really, by the time that we had to make that decision, or rather chose to make that decision.
Yeah.
We had no home for a year, and it got very tired. We loved it, but it got very tiring, traveling constantly from hotel to hotel to Airbnb.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 night stays, packing a suitcase, unpacking. Yeah. Traveling in between, it was very full on. Like, we loved it and we wouldn't change it.
That was our life for a year,
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. I never thought we'd do that. Actually, I did. but it changed halfway through. We kind of decided that, wow, this is kind of working out. And we came to the Philippines, absolutely loved it. We were only originally going to come to the Philippines for 2 weeks. Yes. That was going to be it. It was going to be a short trip.
Little did we know.
And then we decided that it would be cool to have some kind of base somewhere in the world.
Best choice.
We could stay there, we could have a desk set up and we can edit our videos, we'd go off on trips, come back, we'd have internet, we'd have a little bit of, you know, a home base.
Yeah.
And by that point, Manila was an easy decision because we were kind of using Manila as a base anyway.
In between trips as well.
Just in hotels as a kind of jumping point for other trips to, I don't know, Japan or Bali or something.
Or around the Philippines as well.
And all around the Philippines, yeah.
All right. Now, bring me back the very first day you guys decided or told your family that you're going to be moving out in Asia. What was that?
It was daunting. I mean, the conversation, we knew that it would be a surprise. I think they knew that we loved what we did and we loved making these videos in our spare time, but I don't think they maybe were expecting us to just leave the UK completely.
Although we did give them quite a big build up.
Yeah.
We probably gave them around a year's notice.
Notice? It's like we're leaving them as a
deal. They're not shocked.
I'd say we gave them about a year to, I don't know, where we told them that's what we wanted to go and do.
We had this idea. And then slowly things started moving. We handed our notices in our jobs. We booked our tickets. We bought
that
some huge rucksacks.
It was worse for us telling our former employers that we were leaving than our family, I think, because I only had to give a month notice.
Yeah.
So I'd worked a job for 4 years, and then I only had to tell them in 4 weeks that I was leaving, and that was it.
Yeah, it was a shock for both of our workplaces, I think, more than our family.
Because they have no build-up whatsoever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, what did you guys do in the UK? What was your job?
So I worked at BMW, and I sold cars for, I mean, about 2 years I was doing that for, but I did the company for 3 years, and I did some other work at the beginning of that time.
Yeah, I worked for a media company, so it was in radio advertising, effectively, at a radio station.
So mine was totally different to now. Yours has some things you can use, but it's still very different.
It was the entertainment industry, I suppose, so I've taken a few skills from that into this.
Well, that makes sense. You're in the media industry. That makes sense for you to do this. Now, who's your inspiration to do all these things? I love your do the thing. Like, tell me about the backstory about that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think there's a few people who inspired us, but I don't think we never really wanted to copy anybody. Mm-hmm. We never tried to do that. We
took things from different people, I guess.
I'd
say when Casey Neistat was daily vlogging, we were watching his vlogs and we were like, wow, this is cool. Like, you're seeing his life every day and what he's up to around this huge city. Like, that's amazing. And at the same time, you know Gary Vee? Gary Vaynerchuk?
Yes.
So we were hugely influenced by him. So in through more the work ethic, the hustle, the grind, the giving stuff a go, the what ifs and just trying things and that kind of side. So I'd say like a combination of the two. Gary made us go for it, but Casey gave us the idea to do the daily vlogging.
I think that's good. Yeah.
I think the two of them maybe.
But the interesting thing is we started YouTube and we started vlogging before we knew who any of those people were.
Yeah.
We started making videos for YouTube before we watched YouTube.
Yeah, we used YouTube as a place to upload our videos to share on Facebook, show our families, that kind of thing.
It wasn't like we were watching all these vloggers and then we were like, we want to do that.
True.
It kind of became that a little bit more as we went along.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gary Vee, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I had two screens in my old office at my UK job. I had my work on one and Gary's videos on another with an earphone in all day, just him talking to me all day for 3 years.
I think he made us push, like take the leap of trying it and giving it a go. Yeah.
I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, oh my God, how did you get into this 387 subscriber in YouTube? Tell me how. It's a lot of work. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
We still have pinch me moments all the time. We're so grateful. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's our channel. Like we look at our subscriber count and our faces next to it and it's like, I thought it could happen, like there was something in me, but I'm still so surprised every time I
see. We're grateful.
Yeah.
And we just want to keep going. You know, it makes us want to work harder when we see the bigger numbers. It doesn't make us want to slow down. How do we get there? I think it was persistence and consistency, really, and hard work and not giving up. You know, we didn't make any money on YouTube for 4 years, but we didn't care about that. We kept going. Some people might try something for a year. A year is a long time to try anything new.
Yeah.
We did it for four. You know, I always say we could have given up after 3 years.
We wouldn't have known what would have happened after. Like, it's crazy.
Even now, if someone said I've tried something for 3 years and nothing's really happening, I'd say, well, maybe try something else. But I don't know. For some reason, we carried on. We loved it so much. It wasn't even that we were trying to make it work back then. I mean, when we decided to go to Asia and travel, we were like, okay, we could give this a shot. Let's try and make it a thing. But before that, it wasn't that we were trying to become big YouTubers. It was that we just love making videos and vlogging. It was fun.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. We just enjoy it so much.
The enjoyment behind it. And we'd wake up to, I don't know, like 50 views on a video we uploaded the night before. And we wouldn't be disheartened by that. We'd be like, cool. Imagine 50 people in a room. Like, that's a lot of people, like, actually watching, taking the time out of their day to watch a video, to watch our video.
Yeah.
And I think the enjoyment for making the video is not just uploading the videos, but editing them, filming them, thinking of ideas, replying to comments, having this small community that we had at the time actually, like, talking to us and interacting with us. It was so overwhelming, and we loved it so much that the views didn't matter, the income didn't really matter, the subscriber count, like, we kind of didn't look at that. We just had kind of tunnel vision of having the passion behind it.
It was more of a hobby back then. We had our jobs, which was paying the bills and stuff like that. And then things started growing, and then they started growing kind of rapidly. And it's just been this incline for nearly 2 years, now.
Wow. Now, I've been, you know, watching you guys travel, vlog, and I have to say, I love you guys' humility. No matter, you know, there's like, it stays there. And I think that's so endearing.
I think that's how you're
more relatable than I think you, I like that about you guys. You're like always grateful, never really acting like, you know, like your head gets bigger. Like, I love that humility in both of you guys.
Oh, I'm glad that comes about. I think it comes from just gratitude of having something we dreamt of for a little while, and something that we never really thought would become our reality.
We don't take it for granted ever.
No way. And we know it's fragile. If we stop posting blogs tomorrow, in a month, we'll probably be, you know, we'll be heading towards being irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're incredibly grateful for everyone who watches us. We know we have to work hard and keep going and pushing, but we love it. So that's just not a problem. Humility. Yeah. That's nice to hear. I think it comes from having a very different life before, which wasn't a bad life. We haven't particularly come from any hardship or anything like that. We had a great upbringing, both of us. We had jobs, we had an apartment, we had some disposable income to enjoy our life.
Yeah.
But
it was
just
very stable, I guess.
We just knew that we wanted to try something for ourselves. We knew we kind of wanted to try and work for ourselves. We both disliked having a boss, having people telling us what to do. And we had the opportunity to try it. We would save some money and we had the opportunity to try it.
That's awesome. Now, who's the most creative between the two of you?
We've been asked this question a few times about, like, who edits what part or who does that. Like,
people always wonder that.
It's so interesting.
I would say even outside of the vlogs, we're both creative in different ways.
Yeah, like, you're very musically gifted.
Yes, I play guitar and piano and sing and write songs and stuff like that.
And I don't do that.
But Lucy is a great painter.
Yeah.
She's a great dancer. You might have seen her on TikTok.
I've seen some of her
She's blowing up on TikTok.
I would say that.
And we both bring different things to the table.
I think in the vlogs, our editing style is slightly different, but I don't think people know who's editing when they watch a vlog, because we might just take it in turns with editing the video. So some days you'll get one edited by myself or by George, but no one ever knows. So it's quite funny. Like, it might look slightly different in the editing style or the music choices or the transitions and some of the cinematics and things. But I think we've got a similar level of creativity. Yeah.
And the vlogs have changed a lot recently since quarantine, since March. Sure. We've stripped back a lot of the cinematics because there's nothing, you know. There's not much we can do. We filmed 80 something daily videos in a row just in our apartment without leaving. For some reason, people loved it. The views were higher than ever. We've had a record 3 months on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know how we had things to say about anything for 18
days. Wow.
So they've changed recently. But yeah, creativity. We're both creative, but in different ways.
Yeah.
And who's the best copywriter? Who does the title?
Neither of us. Neither of us. Titling of vlogs is...
It's so funny.
It's like, I imagine it to be like if you're an editor of a newspaper and you have to write that one headline per day.
To get people to buy your paper.
That you hope people are going to buy that newspaper because
it grabs
their attention. Clickbait's a big thing on YouTube. We try not to do that. We have no problem with leaving a little bit of mystery in the title.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with creating a little bit of excitement. And people think, oh, I wonder what that is. 99% of our comments, if we do a bit more of a mysterious title, people don't mind. People don't mind. They want to click on the video. They watch us because they want to watch us.
Yeah.
And we never, I would say we never clickbait too heavily.
Not like unrealistic when it's like, oh my God, this has happened, but it literally didn't happen.
Yeah. And we don't spend too much time on it. It's something we do every day. And we do carefully think about our titling, stuff like that. But copywriting, I mean, our Instagram captions, I put no thought into it whatsoever, really. I just, whatever I've got on my mind at the time, it just comes out. I'm not too fussy or particular on that. I would so rather try and be a little bit more real and raw.
Mm-hmm. I think
people respond to that more these days. I think 5 years ago, there was a lot more curated Instagram posts, captions. What people were very narrow on what they would share online, and they'd show the very best of themselves, and they're a lot flexing online, or I did this, or I achieved that. But we'll talk about a lot of different things in our videos, and the same goes on all social media platforms, really.
Now, how did you come up with the name The Juicy Vlog? What's the backstory?
So it was George's younger sister, Jasmine. We'd been together for like 3 weeks or something, like back in the day.
Yeah.
And
she was young at the time.
She was what, like
10 or 11?
I don't know. Was she like 13?
No, maybe she was like, she might have been 12 or something.
And she went to like a fair thing at her school, and she bought this, I think she won like a tiny little... Was it a cheetah or a jaguar? Like
it's tiny, kind of like soft toy.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I got this. I'm going to give it to you guys as your little mascot. For like us being a couple, like she was quite excited that her older brother had got a new girlfriend, and I was kind of new.
She was like, she was trying to make friends with Lucy. She's like, got you guys a present.
Yeah. And we said, okay, what's it going to be called? And she was like, Juicy. And we were like, okay.
Strange name for a teddy.
Why is it called Juicy? She was like, well, obviously George and Lucy. And we were like, love it. And then when it was time,
that makes sense.
Yeah. And it was something for you to name. We had all these ideas back and forth, and this Juicy kept coming up, and we were like, some people might realise that it's George and Lucy. Some people might be like, Juicy, what does that mean? Like, it's kind of intriguing, I guess.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that's where it kind of came from. Yeah. It was just our names, really. Yeah. And it just stuck.
Yeah. It's nice and short to say.
It's great. Yeah. We get shouted that in the street. People don't shout. Some people shout George or Lucy, but some people just shout Juicy or Juicy Blog.
That makes sense. That's a really cute story. That's a cute story.
Yeah.
Now, how do you guys stay? I know it's hard traveling from one place to another. How do you guys stay like burnout? Did you guys went through that?
Several times.
We kind of were in denial at one point, I'd say.
Yeah.
As dramatic as that sounds, we had done traveling, like we said, out of a backpack for one whole year. And we were daily vlogging. The video was doing incredibly well. We were growing subscribers. We had 70,000 subscribers in 1 month at one point. And it was like, it was going crazy and things were kicking off. So because it was so exciting and there was so much word when you're...
We took no breaks.
Yeah. So
we were so amazed and in awe.
Adrenaline.
It's hard not to get addicted when you get all that. Yeah.
Addiction.
We may have felt we're a bit tired today, but it'd be like, what? Do people want a video? We want to make a video. We're going to upload a video. So we push through and we're traveling. Travel takes it out of you as it is. The long boats of the airport waiting times and stuff. But daily vlogging and editing on top of that and trying to find internet places to upload, it was tough, I guess.
Yeah.
It was full on, but because it was so exciting, we didn't really feel the tired part as much, because the more exciting bit was bigger.
We didn't acknowledge it. We would literally work constantly all day. We'd get up early, we'd start filming, we'd film the whole day. In between that, we'd been doing emails. We'd have to edit the previous day's vlog, schedule it, upload it.
Doing something exciting in the day, because we wanted to have something fun to vlog as well.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of this weird, like,
and all the other content around it, Instagram posts, taking photos,
and we filmed the one day and edit it back next evening. So it was like a one day turnaround thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it wasn't until maybe when we went back to the UK. Oh no, I think around last July time, we were on our way back to the UK. I think we did a stop in Dubai, and we both kind of woke up one morning and we said, we've both had a lot of sleep. Like, we're fine on the sleep part, but we both feel exhausted.
Completely
and
drained.
Kind of ill in a way. Like,
we didn't feel good.
Like, we've had enough sleep, but we're still tired, that kind of thing. And we were both, like, I remember we Googled, like, how do you know you've got burnout and how to help with burnout? And then we were reading these things and we were like, yeah, I think this is us.
Yeah, because we hadn't had that before. You know, in our old jobs, it was a 9 to 5. We could finish at 5 o'clock, walk out the door, and you go home and you chill, you relax, you watch Netflix or whatever. But it was, imagine your, I don't know what hobbies you might have or anyone listening or watching might have, but imagine the hobby you love the most. Imagine doing it for years and then you suddenly have a lot of people watching you do it and they're loving it. Say you're a singer or a rapper or something like that, a guitar player, and suddenly everyone's buying your music. Everyone's listening to your song. Yeah. Everyone wants to know everything about you.
You're not going to stop, are you?
You want to put out more songs. We wanted to put out more videos. We wanted to keep going. It was incredibly exciting. And yeah, we definitely neglected ourselves, I would say.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know. We've changed that now. We're still adapting. You know, it's always changing. We even said the other day, oh, we could do a little bit of a change up or a break or a day off.
Yeah.
But we just kind of listen to ourselves and do what we need to do. Whenever it's necessary now.
Really. I think one of the reasons why we went so hard and we still do a lot of the time is because when we were pushing at our hardest point, the first kind of year, if we hadn't given it our all, there was a chance that it might not work. So I think, if you're working for someone else and you don't put your complete, like I always say, like, I think Gary said it before, your people that you employ aren't going to care as much about your business as you are, because it's your business, absolutely, it's your baby, what you've created and what you want to make work. So it's basically the more work we put in, the more we get out of it. And if we don't put the work in, then there's a chance that if we miss this upload, oh, that could have been the one that went viral. It could have been that. So it was just like addicted, like you said, it was just head on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We didn't go back to... I mean, it wouldn't have been, you know, it's still a nice life, but we didn't want to go back to the life we had when we started making tracks on a different life for ourselves.
Gotcha. So you're scared of losing that momentum that you guys have been working on.
And that is still true to this day. I would say we work just as hard, but in a different way.
True. Yeah.
We're doing a lot of different things now as well. And I think the momentum thing is so key. I think with any YouTuber or vlogger or any social media content creator, you don't want to disappear, and you don't want to feel irrelevant, not for your own self-worth or anything like that, but purely on the front of you enjoy doing it and you want the audience to enjoy it and you just want to keep the audience happy and keep yourself happy.
There's a lot of factor that you have to consider. Like, you don't want to lose that algorithm because it's tricky. It changes all the time.
It does. But the thing is, no one knows anything about algorithms, really.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it?
People say to us, should I daily vlog? I want to start a YouTube channel. Should I upload every day? Is that how you did it? Is that what works? And all we can say is, we don't know. There's people who upload once a month, who have incredibly successful channels, once a week. It just depends. I think there was a period in time where the audience really loved the, and still now, loved the daily uploads and a rolling story. Yeah. It was like a soap opera or a series. It was like a story.
Come back every day from what they got up to next.
Yeah, see what we're doing tomorrow. Join us tomorrow, see what we get up to.
And that's still like, I mean, we pretty much daily
we pretty much upload every day. But now
I think we missed 2 days in August. So we're saying it as though it's the past, but it's still very much happening.
But we do it slightly differently now. We might film 2 videos in 1 day and then not film the next day, but then we're doing something else on that day. You know, so it's changed up a little bit. But algorithms, I don't know.
No one can figure it out.
For us, it's just head down, make your content. Don't worry about the algorithms. Mm-hmm. You know, the time you spend complaining about algorithms, you could be making a video or, you know what I mean? Because you can't control it. We spend very little time on things that we can't control. We'd rather spend time on things we can control.
Yeah. Now, tell me, what did you learn about yourselves while doing this journey?
Ooh.
Good question. Wow.
I think we learned that, for me, I learned that, wow, we can actually do this. This is a thing. YouTube can be a lifestyle. You know, because growing up in a smallish town, you grow up with the same kind of friends. You grow up with a small group of people around you. A lot of people do the same thing. You go to college. Some might go to university. And then you apply for a job. And you hope to get a job at a company that you kind of like. Yeah. And that's kind of a set structure in society. And I think it was very cool for us to see that, wow, there is something else. There is.
Yeah.
If you want it, and if you do the right things and, you know, have all these dynamics come together, there is a whole different world out there. Our life is so different. We're not living a small town life in the UK anymore.
And I think we've also gained a huge amount of perspective from traveling. I know it's very cliche to say when you travel, you see all these things and you change your mindset, but it really does, because you see things and you think, when people are moaning about tiny little things at home, and then you're traveling through a tiny town in the middle of Cambodia and people are all on the streets and this awful history this country's had, and then you kind of, it really goes into your mind and you just think, come on, just be grateful, think about what you have, how lucky you are to have been born into this kind of lifestyle and this privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really grounds you and it really makes you so grateful for everything around you.
And that's why we always try and stay like that. We wake up every day so happy and grateful that we can do this, and this is our life. And it kind of makes you, sometimes you're cautious of what you say sometimes, because you know a lot of people, including your audience, a lot of people are living different lives and you don't want to come across in a certain way sometimes, maybe. But I think as long as you stay grounded and stay grateful for what you've got and work hard for what you've got, and you know you're a good person, then I think that's okay.
Love it. Now, knowing what you know now, what would you guys do differently?
Nothing. I wouldn't want to know.
Yeah, I don't like that, because it scares me. If something was slightly different, it might not have had the same outcome.
I mean, we always said we could try. There would have been maybe ways we could have tried to grow quicker or something with titles, or done more food videos or certain things that, you know, work sometimes on YouTube. But we were just filming the story of our lives, and that's what we're still doing. I wouldn't want to
If you get a huge shout out from a huge YouTuber with millions and millions of subscribers, you get quite a few thousand probably.
Depends,
but these people probably don't care about you. They just care about the person that's told you to subscribe to them, if that makes sense. So I think growing more organically and growing an audience that like you for you, not because you've jumped off the back of someone else, would you say, is...
I mean, some people have had success like that, where they've had a help up from a bigger creator, and we'd love to help smaller creators as well than us. Obviously, we're not, there's, you know, great. You can't ever think that you're at a certain place, because there's always someone above you, there's always someone below you. So that's why we just said, we just keep our heads down, we do our thing. But you're so right. I think years ago, a dream of ours would be to have a shout out from a big YouTuber.
Casey Neistat, let's say.
Yeah, you take it, but now I'd say no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
I'm glad how everything has happened and how it's happening.
Yeah, because that is a surface. Like, they're not really your community. They're not. They don't know your story. They're not. They don't create a bond with you. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a great feeling to do it kind of on your own.
I love it. Now, when did you guys learn this storytelling? You guys are both great storyteller.
Really?
I don't know.
I think we're both quite chatty and sociable people. Like, we can start a conversation with anyone, any stranger, we can just chat. Mm-hmm. I just think it's just, I don't know, maybe our
If they give it back, maybe. I think we're, like, talking to you is great, it's fun. Because you're engaging, you're asking really good questions. It's a back and forth thing.
Yeah.
I think storytelling, because we're talking to, like, a camera, we're talking to that most
True.
Of the time.
Maybe that's
so, I don't know. You feel like, I never feel like I'm on my own. I do genuinely feel like I'm talking to people.
Didn't I say on the blog the other day, I had a bit of a freak out moment because I looked around and George was like editing or something with headphones in. And I was literally like looking into a piece of glass and I was talking to it. And normally I don't think about this. And I was suddenly like, there's no one here right now. This is like an object. And I'm really, really talking to them, getting quite deep and talking about something and laughing at myself to them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, obviously I'm talking to the audience, but there's this whole editing process before. So it's kind of weird, isn't it? It is a bit bizarre. But I guess talking on the vlogs and, I don't know, we've done my interviews in the past and stuff. Mm-hmm.
We just enjoy it. If the situation's right and the person's right and... You know, with the vlogs, we're talking to our community. We're talking to our audience who know us. They know, like, that I got a new T-shirt 2 days ago. They know what Lucy cooked for dinner last night. It's a very...
Yeah, personal.
It's a very personal, close relationship, even though it could be 100,000 people watching.
Yeah, it's amazing how you guys built this strong community, and that's how you became so successful. They know you. They know you in and out.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think people have to be careful if they're starting what they choose to share and what they choose to not share, because obviously we get not much, but we get hate comments, we get strange messages, we get, you know, insults, whatever. But I think to deal with that, it's just the heads down approach. I keep saying that today.
And think about, I guess, have more sympathy for the person that's leaving the hate comments and what's going on in their mind and the reason they're being mean online. Like, I just totally don't get it.
I think someone's opinion of us who we don't even know it's nothing to do with us. That's fine, you know, it's not going to affect us.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what I do with that is sometimes I just don't read it. I'll just like, erase it. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
It's like, next.
It's a good strategy. Why not?
Yeah.
Now, what is the worst day of George and Lucy traveling? Tell me about the worst day traveling.
The stranded one.
Yeah. It was the worst, like, on paper, but I guess it turned out quite cool, really.
Okay,
so I'll try and make it a bit shorter because I do ramble on with stories sometimes. So we were in Cambodia on an island called Koh Rong, and it was a tiny island, not that many people on there. There was a little strip of beach with some restaurants and a couple of little, they weren't really hotels, they're more like hostels, guest houses kind of thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful beach, really nice. We went on this trip, a day trip. We were staying on, I'll use my phone. So we are staying here on the island on a hotel, and we get picked up from this part of the island. So we traveled round to here in the morning on a boat. We did this amazing boat trip and it was like beautiful. But then halfway through the day, the guy that's running the tour said, so actually the winds are too strong. We can't even try to go back round to the other side of the island. Like, it's crazy winds. The waves are insane. And as he said, it was like something from a film. It all got a bit dark. The rain kind of came
started
down.
Started raining. The clouds went grey.
And we were stuck on this little beach. And with this boat, you're looking out at our boat and I'm not exaggerating. It's like going crazy in these huge waves. We've got our huge camera and all of our gear with us, and we're thinking, how are we going to get back onto this boat? We've got to swim to this boat in these choppy waves. So we're like holding the camera above our heads, like kind of drowning, I'm being dramatic, but like our faces are under the water and we're like trying to keep up with these waves. We get back on the boat, we make it back to the main kind of strip area, and he says, there's no chance you're getting back tonight to your hotel, where our expensive laptops are, all of our gear, all of our clothes, our toothbrushes, like everything. So we're like, okay.
And that was a collaboration with that hotel that we were staying with.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, obligations to
film,
video there and make content and take photos.
And these two people that are staying there just didn't return that night. So the hotel are probably thinking,
so we disappeared.
Where are they? My phone had got no battery left. We didn't have any Wi-Fi. We didn't have any chargers. Like, it was kind of scary because it was
darkness. We were new to Asia. We were new to traveling. We were 6 weeks in at this point.
Maybe like 4 or 5 maybe. Weeks. Like, it was quite early on. And how did it get resolved? So we stayed overnight in this little, tiny
guest house.
$2 a night or something. It was super cheap. Sand all over the floor, mosquitoes. It was kind of crazy. And woke up in the morning and they said, we woke up about 6 a.m. and they said, you've got two choices. You can try and hike through the jungle, but it's very treacherous. There's not a path. There's like cliffs that you've got to abseil down. Or if the wind's better, you can try and convince someone to take a boat round. Just find a guy that owns a boat and just ask him to take you back.
Yeah, which we did.
So we found someone that did that and managed to get us back. But it was like something from some like shipwrecked movie. We dropped us quite far down on the beach. We're walking back to this hotel, like looking awful.
No shower.
We're like, we're here. Breakfast still open.
Yeah, we managed to make breakfast.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, how many hours was that ordeal?
I would say 24 hours.
Yeah.
I would say.
Holy. Wow. Wow. Well, definitely travel teaches you resilience for sure.
True. It does.
We've done a lot of long bus rides.
Yeah.
Flight after flight after flight.
Uncomfortable situations. And it keeps you, I think, advice for anyone that says, oh, I'm coming to Asia, like, have you got any advice? Is just stay flexible because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't want to go somewhere and say, there's 10 points I want to see. I want to sightsee and see the 10 top points, because you won't. Things will change. You'll miss a bus. You'll really enjoy that place and stay there longer. So just stay flexible.
Yeah.
I could imagine you guys living in the UK and you're traveling in Asia where everything is so disorganized and there's no such thing as being on time. How do you guys deal with that?
We also love, that's one thing we love about Philippines as well. Everyone is so laid back.
So laid back.
You know, it kind of suits us that people aren't too stressy. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very, very different to England.
Yeah.
But we really like the way of life here, I think, and the pace of life.
Wow, that's amazing to hear. Now, it's amazing how at this time during the quarantine, that was the best, like I said, views of videos, you guys.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy for us, because it's like the most raw personal content, as in talking about more on the vlogs, I suppose.
Yeah, we can only
but
talk
the least
about
travel content.
Yeah, exactly. There's been no travel for months.
No.
So we were just very, very happy and pleased that the audience wanted to still join us and come along with us.
Yeah, definitely.
And new people, we had 23,000 subscribers in 1 month during that time. And other months were around 17,000 to 20,000 new subscribers each month.
Yeah.
And that's still similar, I think. It's just great that new people are joining the channel and wanting to see what we're up to and stuff like that. And it just makes us want to keep going.
That's amazing. Now, how do you guys deal with traveling where you guys will be stopped everywhere for taking photos? Have you guys been like behind with your like flight because of that? How do you guys handle that?
Actually, it's happened a few times where we really need to get somewhere.
We want to always be polite, but, and we never want to say no to a photo. But sometimes it's like, sorry, really quickly, we need to go.
Yeah, but it's always nice when people spend the time to come and say hi.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's different now because like all the selfies are distant and stuff like that. True.
Yes.
But it's,
kind of smiling through a mask.
It's one of the nicest feelings when you meet someone who's genuinely excited to see you because they love your videos and they love what you're doing. It's a really, really nice feeling.
Wow. Now, what is the best compliment you guys have, like a message from your community that really makes you inspired?
Interesting.
What do you think?
I think
one that stands out, or just
when people say that we're real, and when people say that we're funny, and when people say that we're
relatable
and nice people,
all
the stuff that you want to hear in normal life.
I think more so that than complimenting like the actual like cinematics or something. That any compliment is obviously lovely, but
people say that editing was great. That's really nice.
When it's something personal to our personalities, it's like, wow, that's actually really kind.
Digs a little bit deeper.
Yeah. I think that's the main.
People always like your hair as well.
Yeah. Compliments on your hair.
Well,
now that it's getting a bit longer.
That's a different story.
Well, everyone's obsessed about your British accent, even here in America.
I do. Oh, wow. We get a lot of comments about the accent.
Sometimes I'll say a certain word and there'll be loads of people commenting the timestamp. And I'm like, why are people commenting this, like, did I say something wrong? And it's like, no, no, we just like hearing you over and over again.
Yeah.
Saying you sound like Harry Potter, but
yeah, that's very true. You know, yeah. I think like instantly, even my podcast, like intro, outro, I hired an English accent because it just elevates your branding, right?
Nice. Yeah, to us, it's just normal. Yeah, it's just how we speak. Yeah. And the funny thing is, traveling opened us up to that as well, because
we didn't know that people liked the British accent.
We had no idea, you know.
Everyone sounds like us back home.
Yeah, everyone sounds like us at home, and that's what we'd grown up with for 25 years, 20 years if you're
23
younger. and yeah, it was normal to us, but now it's so even when we were making videos, trying food in certain places for the first time,
yeah,
it was cool for us because we wanted to try the food, of course, wherever we are. We love experiencing culture and food and things. But we were kind of like, wow, so many people want to see us try it. Why is that?
Yeah.
And then recently we found ourselves watching other foreign people to the UK trying British food, trying fish and chips, shepherd's pie.
I love it.
A full English breakfast. And now we totally get it. Like, we want to see how will they react to that sausage roll?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will they like it? What do they think of that? So we totally get it now. I think traveling opens you up to things like that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Now, how's your family seeing you guys, what you guys are now? What do they say now?
They miss us, first of all.
We normally go home maybe twice a year, so Christmas and then like a middle of the year, English summer. So we should have been home.
We were going to go home around June for like another month or 6 weeks or something. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Obviously can't because of quarantine.
So we're definitely missing them. They're definitely missing us. But I think overall, they're very proud of us. They find it very cool. I mean, it's unlike anyone else in our families, our jobs, I guess.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very different. I think our parents are proud.
Yeah.
And they're happy that we made something successful and that we're enjoying life. What more would you want for your kids? I suppose we don't know yet, but I suppose they're just happy for us and they miss us. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. How are you guys handling with this quarantine? Is it difficult or?
Filming a lot of videos.
Filming lots.
That honestly has.
It's been so good.
It's kept us very. It's given us something to do every day.
Yeah.
Making videos, just doing what we were doing anyway, but in a different way.
We've gone through all the phases of quarantine though, the like crazy amounts of exercise, the drinking alcohol part, the, all the different types of, I feel like this all over Twitter.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we've gone through a fair few of them.
We've done it all. We've had ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know,
I think like everyone.
We've watched a ton of Netflix. Yeah. We've watched a lot of TV. We've played video games. We've done a lot of things that we haven't done for the last two or three years.
And maybe it's a good thing to slow us down.
It's been quite nice. We feel like we were forced to take a breather slightly. Yeah. Although not even in terms of uploads, because I would say we've uploaded the same amount of videos, but I would say a breather in terms of actually traveling, going to do something every single day,
day-to-day
moving
stuff.
Around, exhausting ourselves. We've just adapted to what's going on.
That's awesome. Now, who is the most interesting person you've met so far while in the Philippines?
Other than you, interesting person.
One person.
We've met a lot of people. We've met mayors and
celebrities.
Some people have become friends. And,
interesting person.
Interesting. Probably Andy Smith, actually. That man, that guy's a mystery.
He's almost still a mysterious to this day.
Do you know him? Do you know?
No. Who is it?
Do you know Diana Zubiri? An actress in the Philippines?
I think so. I've heard it.
Yeah, her husband.
Yeah.
Oh, the
he's
husband.
Great friend of ours, but he's a great guy. I like him a lot.
Very mysterious.
Very mysterious. Always off to meetings. Always wearing a suit.
Diana's amazing.
She's great.
We had her on our podcast last year?
Yeah.
Was that last year?
Yeah. Wow. Actually, that's a great story.
And she was explaining that she came, I've forgotten the word, in Tagalog.
She really opened up on our podcast. And we asked her before, obviously, if it's okay, if she wants to talk about it. But she came from she's been a very successful actress here.
Yeah.
And she...
From a very young age as well.
Yeah. And she got into it, but from a life almost pretty much on the streets and eating food from leftover garbage and things like that. There's a Tagalog word that you're trying to remember.
But she explained it to us. And from that to where she is now, It's just incredible. Yeah. There was nothing handed to her. She went out and did it all on our own back.
So, yeah.
Yeah, inspiring.
Those two are great. And they've become good friends of ours.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, what do you think of the Philippine culture?
Oh, we love it.
We love it. I feel like we know the culture more than our own now, genuinely. Like, I never thought I'd know so much about another country that's not the UK.
I think we've travelled more of the Philippines than we've travelled England.
Oh, easily. Mm. Easily. It's just so great. I think, we always say there's three things that really stand out.
The friendliness of the people.
No, I mean, as the part of the culture, what's inside the people here.
All right.
So, like, food, family, and love are the three things that really stand out to us here. So people are like food is such a bonding thing, and like having huge like boom fights and things and big buffets, and people like bond over food. Family is huge here. People are like
very family focused. There's
different ways of doing things here in the UK, and it's just really nice. And then also like love, everyone is like loves love here, don't they?
Yeah,
and it's very open.
And people aren't ashamed to be romantic and be.
All the love songs on karaoke and
things. Yeah, all the love. Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Just so nice to see. Like, I feel like in the UK, people sometimes are more shy.
People suppress that side of them.
And it's embarrassing to be like too romantic,
too
maybe
gushy or whatever. But we love it, and people are very friendly here. People are incredibly friendly to us when we meet them. Even just interactions day to day with people in stores and restaurants, coffee shops.
It's so nice.
People are just nice. And we've seen a lot of different cultures around the Philippines, all kind of different levels of it. And yeah, it's so interesting to see any country is interesting to see a culture, but I think the Philippines is so diverse, but then you see similarities everywhere you go, which are the kind of things Lucy was saying.
That's awesome. Now, would you guys ever consider of doing a movie or modeling? Is it something that you guys would be open to?
Yeah.
Or have you guys been approached all the time?
It'd be kind of crazy doing like a movie because we're so used to being our directors, our producers, our editors for ourselves. So like someone saying, do that. I think it would be a bit weird. It'd be weird for us to adapt to it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could act.
I think I'm a bad actress.
I don't think I could be an actor, but I'd love to be a part of a show of some sort. We're definitely open to opportunities like that. Modelling, I don't know. You know,
you could be a model.
We can't try and be anyone who isn't ourselves. So if they want a 6'2", guy with
curly
like
head, brown head.
A beard that doesn't properly grow yet, then that's fine. But we're open to funny new things, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crazy story. Because I met Lucy through Airbnb. You guys are one of my guests.
No,
I know.
We love it.
When are you guys coming back?
Oh, as soon as possible.
When we can.
As soon as we can. Yeah, we'd love to come back.
Awesome.
We miss that kind of thing. We loved, especially going to your place. We loved it because we could wake up at 6 a.m. here. We could get a grab to the airport with small amount of traffic at that time in the morning. Get a short flight to Camaguin and be by the pool
before midday
at Bintana at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's still the morning. We'd be there in like an island paradise. as soon as we can, we'd love to come.
And
back.
Thank you for creating that amazing video, by the way. I showed it to the Filipino American community and they loved it. So thank you.
Oh, really?
We actually want to come to the US. That was one of our plans for this year. We were gonna do a few US trips. We wanted to go to New York and LA, maybe on separate trips, but maybe
stop by in Orange County.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys have to go to Utah. I think Utah by far is my favorite place. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It's a good drive. Now, what's your end goal? What's your big, hairy, audacious goal?
I wouldn't say there's an end goal. I would say that we love the process of what we do.
If there's an end, then when you're at the end goal that you made, you'll be like, oh, but I want that now. But I think goals are just moving all the time. But for us, I think generically speaking is happiness and just continue to be happy every day, waking up with freedom to do what we want to do that makes us happy.
Exactly. And we have some other more
practical
goals. That we want to achieve, but really it's just keep going, keep adapting, keep changing, keep evolving, follow happiness, follow what you want to do, or what we want to do, And yeah, end goal. I think if you also, a lot of people work for an end goal and then it suggests that they don't enjoy trying to get there. They're always working for something. Yeah. They're waiting for something.
Should enjoy the process.
Or they're trying to do something they don't enjoy now because they think that when they get to this end goal, they'll be happy. But I think then you're just wasting time a lot of the time. And, you know, there's so many different scenarios for so many different people. But for us, we'd way rather enjoy the day-to-day. And if a byproduct of that is achieving some of our personal goals and along the way, then that's great. But we just want to enjoy every day.
I love it. Now, how do you want to be remembered, each one of you?
Oh. I don't think I've ever been asked that. I think that's the first time.
as someone who made a lot of people smile,
yeah,
or laugh,
brought happiness in some way.
Nothing too.
I don't think I would. I don't need to be known as like about physical like values of like money and things like that. I think more
someone who left
happiness,
left a place or a person more positive than before they found us.
Yeah.
I would say something like that. I think. Oh, that's a really good question.
I love that question.
I've never been asked that. Just a positive impact.
Yeah.
Positive impact.
Oh, my God. Guys, thank you for sharing your story. Where can they find you? What's your site?
We are on YouTube. Just put in The Juicy Vlog. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We have a podcast on Spotify. We're everywhere. Lucy's on TikTok at The Juicy Vlog. Go and check out her dances. Occasionally I'll make a cameo appearance. Yeah. yeah, we're everywhere. So if you like seeing what random people are up to in a random life.
In a random apartment in Manila.
Then come along.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to you and it's nice to finally see you in Zoom.
Yeah, it's great to finally actually kind of see you.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's been great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, hopefully one day we'll see each other and come again. In
Sure. When's the podcast out?
It will probably be out by next week.
Cool. Next week, perfect. Cool. Let us know. We'll share it as well.
Yes, and we were number 3 in the Philippines for entrepreneur.
Wow. Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Awesome.
Really,
it is like what you guys do, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. Yeah. It's a lot of work. Well, I appreciate you guys and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great. Good to speak to you.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And visit katehancock.com so you don't miss out on the next episode.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.